All right. Good morning, church family. Good morning, those who are tuning in online. We're just so glad that you could be with us this morning. And this morning, we're going to continue in this morning's message in the series that we've been in together this fall on understanding our identity in Christ, on embracing who we are in Christ. Because the Bible says that when someone trusts in Jesus, when someone comes to Christ, that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this is so important, this truth of who we are in Christ, that we would come to embrace who we are in Christ. It's so vital, so central, so core for our lives that learning and believing and coming to and embrace and walk in who we are in Christ is one of the most important things that we can grow in as believers. And the Bible has so much to say about who we are in Christ. One of the ways that God communicates this to us is by showing us these different dynamic pictures of the Christian life that speak into the reality of who we are in Christ. And so we've looked at some of these pictures together this fall, what it means to be a child in God's family, what it means to be a people of the truth, what it means to be a runner in the race. This morning, the picture that we're going to look at is what it means to be a member in Christ's body, a member in Christ's body. When our Lord Jesus rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, in the New Testament we read that he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is the head of his church, the body. The body of Christ. And so to be a believer means to be a member in Christ's body. And if you have your Bible this morning, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And specifically, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. In the context here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is building upon what he's already said concerning spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, that God has given these diverse spiritual gifts to all of his people, to every believer. To every believer, he's given a spiritual gift or gifts. The diversity of spiritual gifts to all the different members in his body, to every believer in the church. And now in the word of God before us, Paul builds upon what he said concerning these diverse gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he moves this discussion into the body life of the church. And the heart of the message this morning is that there might be this deep unity in the church that cares for one another, that suffers with one another, that honors one another, especially given the great diversity that exists in the church, the diversity of giftings, the different members, the different perspectives that we might have, that there would be both a deep unity that binds together and supports the great diversity that exists in the church, the body of Christ. And the ultimate theological context for this is God himself, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct and different persons, yet one whole and unified God. And this is exactly how Paul anchors and frames the conversation. If you're in 1 Corinthians 12, look down at verses 4 through 6 that we could pick up the context. Paul says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, the Lord Jesus. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God, God the Father, who works all in all. And so just as God himself is diverse in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and yet enjoys this deep unity of oneness, so the church, his people, the people of God, are called to reflect God in this diversity of different people, different members, different giftings, and yet while enjoying and preserving this deep unity of love. And so the metaphor, the picture that captures this idea and this reality is the picture of the body of Christ, the church. And throughout the scripture before us this morning, we want to see this cord of unity and diversity that intertwines and wraps together the teaching. If you look at verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Again in verse 20, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." And again in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." The body is one. One body. Unity. And the body is made up of many parts, many members, many people. Diversity. And the common experience of all believers who are part of Christ's body is that, according to verse 13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit," or of one Spirit. The one experience that we all have in common as believers is that when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you, immerses you into the body of Christ. You become a member in Christ's body. No matter what ethnicity you have, Paul says, no matter what station in life you have, no matter if you're rich or poor, even no matter if you're Democrat or Republican, when you trust in Christ, the Spirit takes you and places you, immerses you into the body of Christ, and you become a member in Christ's body. You're a member in Christ's body. And yet there are so many differences, aren't there? So many different kinds of people in the church. So many different personalities. So many different giftings, different perspectives. And herein lies the rub. What's intended to be a point of beauty can often become a point of conflict, a point of stress, a point of tension. And that can give rise to these two great struggles that the Word of God speaks to, as we see this morning. These two tendencies, these two kinds of sicknesses, if you will, that can arise in the body of Christ. Because it's when I navigate these questions of, how do I fit in the body? You know, what's my gifting or what's my place in the church? How am I to live in fellowship with others who are different than me? Might see the world different than me. And the Word of God addresses these two tendencies, these two struggles or sicknesses that can arise in the body. The first struggle we see is in verses 14 through 20, and the second is dealt with in verses 21 through 27. The first struggle, verses 14 through 20, is the struggle of what we might call the struggle of uselessness. This is the feeling of inferiority, you're discouraged, or you don't feel like you're needed, you don't feel like you're valuable. Where does this mindset, where does this feeling come from? And what does God have to say about it? Let's read verses 14 through 20 together. Paul writes, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, yet one body." The struggle of inferiority, do you hear it in the text? The struggle of not feeling like you belong, not feeling like you're needed. Notice the pattern of where this comes from. It comes from, you know, looking at others in the church, seeing the way that they're maybe gifted or how God's using them or the role that they play, the part they're playing, looking at their Facebook posts, you know, looking at their Instagram pictures and sort of stacking your life up against it. And then coming to this false conclusion, this soured place to even say, "I am not of the body." And so the foot says in verse 15, "Because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body." And in verse 16, the ear says, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body." You're not an eye, you're an ear. Comparing yourself to others in the church will always lead to one of these two dangerous paths laid out here in the scripture before us, that both result in separation, division, destruction, and sickness in the body. The first path, by way of comparing yourself to another, is to lead into this kind of swamp of discouragement, feeling insufficient, feeling inferior, feeling discouraged, feeling like, man, next to this person or that person, like I don't stack up. I'm not like them. I don't measure up. And so therefore, I'm not needed. And it actually leads to this conclusion, false conclusion, strong feelings, false conclusion, maybe exasperated by this period of this COVID season of separation that we're enduring. Strong feelings. But false conclusion to say that I am not of the body. And so to this tendency, to this first struggle, to this first sickness, the Word of God comes and gives to us at least three remedies. Number one, it's not true. It's not true. You may feel like you don't belong, like you're not needed, like you're not valuable as you compare yourself to someone else. But your feelings of uselessness are not true. And so you may say, as the foot in verse 15, "Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body." But Paul asked, is it therefore not of the body? The answer is no. You may say as an ear in verse 16, "Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body." But is it therefore not of the body? No way. And so the first remedy in the Word of God for this kind of sickness is to reason with us, to show us that it's not true. You are a part of the body, valuable, needed, important as a member in Christ's body in the church. The second remedy is to show us how this kind of thinking actually undermines the very design of God that he has made for his body, for the church, the design of the body that God has intended. Many members, yet one body. Many members with diverse gifts, diverse personalities, diverse parts, diverse roles, yet one body. And so Paul reasons again in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And again in verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? This would be a great Halloween costume, guys. Dress up like an eye, you know, or an ear. And Paul's going, how weird would that be? That's not how God designed the church to be. That'd be like a church where everyone in the church was teachers. Man, that'd be painful. You know, where everyone in the church had the gift of exhortation. Ouch. God's made a body to complement one another, to work together in his wisdom, in his design. Out of it, his own nature has intended a body with many different parts, and each part is significant and valuable and needed and has a part to play in the church. The third piece of medicine that God provides us from his word for this feeling of uselessness, this sickness of feeling of inferiority, is found in verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. It's God who places members in his body. This is not something that can be worked for. This is not something that can be earned in some way. God, this is the business of God. God sets the members in his body just as he sees fit, and he has a place for each one of his children, for each believer. And Paul repeats this over and over again several times in this chapter. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Verse 18, we just read it. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Verse 24 and 25, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body. And then again in verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. So who's given what gift? You know, where each member is set in the body, that's the business of God. That's God's sovereign decision. Being faithful, serving others with the gifts that God gives, that's our part. Using and serving and stirring and building for the building up of others, for the glory of God, that's our part. So don't fall prey to this first sickness, this struggle of inferiority, feeling useless. It's not true. You're valuable as a member of Christ's body. You're needed. Don't give way to this false thinking that undermines God's design for the body, and find God's pleasure in discovering and being all he's made you to be in the body of Christ, the church. Now Paul turns to the second struggle, the second tendency or sickness that can develop in the body. And this is really the opposite side of the coin, but it follows the same dangerous pattern of comparing yourself with others in the church, and it leads to the same deadly place of being fragmented and of being separated and of being isolated and of being divided. You see, comparing ourselves with others will always lead to either this feeling of uselessness and inferiority on the one hand, or it will lead to a feeling of proud superiority on the other hand. So now instead of discouragement, there's pride. And now instead of the mindset that says, you don't need me, the attitude starts to set in, well, I don't need you. Verses 21 through 27. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And so notice the same pattern that's developed, the same approach that leads to this opposite kind of sickness. Now the person's looking down upon others around them as they compare themselves to others. You know, as we stack up our Facebook likes or whatever, our Instagram pics, and we start to feel proud. We start to look down on others around us. Instead of feeling like you don't belong, you start thinking that other people don't really matter. Instead of feeling like you don't need me, the attitude becomes that I don't need you. And so in verse 21, the eye looks down upon the hand and says, I have no need of you. And the head looks down upon the feet and says, I have no need of you. And so as we compare ourselves with ourselves, it always leads to one of these two sicknesses, to discouragement, to feeling inferior, or else it leads to pride, to feeling superior. And so to this second sickness, the Word of God comes and also gives us at least three remedies. Number one, appreciate others who are different than you. Verse 21. You see it there? Appreciate others who are different than you. If you're an eye, you know, how are you going to get by in life? I mean, without a hand, how are you going to pick up that food at lunch today and put it in your mouth? That'd be terrible. You know, you could see the glorious food in front of you, you know, but you couldn't even smell it because you don't have a nose. And to see the cup of fine roasted coffee in the morning, but not be able to smell it and not be able to taste it, you know, that would be rough. And so being a part of the body, it means that we are needed, but we also have needs. And so we need to learn to appreciate others who are different than us. That's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful and so wonderful. And that one day we'll be in heaven, and the Bible tells us, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, we'll all be joining in that glorious anthem, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Appreciate others who are different than you. Number two, show care for others in the body. Verse 25, show care for others in the church. Paul says that we do this naturally with our own bodies. The parts that are weaker, which means the parts that are less impressive and less esteemed, we treat those parts with greater honor. We show care for them. You know, we put hats on our balding heads. We put pants on to cover up parts of our body. We put on a baggier shirt to cover the lesser parts of our body. And Paul says in that way, we're showing honor to the different parts of the body. And so in the church, we should show care for one another in the body. We should have that same care for one another. Practically, in our church family during this season that we're in, you can connect on the church app and the church website. You can email or call the church office. If you're not connected on the prayer chain, you can get connected on the prayer chain as we lift up each other and support each other in prayer. If you have practical needs, you can check out the COVID care page on the church app and the website. You can find out ways to serve. At the very core of our church, our smaller home fellowships that we call house churches. You can check out ways to plug in to a house church that might be near you or might fit with whatever your schedule is in the week to get plugged in as we show care for one another. Finally, in verse 26, contend for the unity of the body. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We know this to be true in our own bodies, right? Just one finger that's hurt, one knuckle, one toe, one tooth, you know, the whole body suffers. You feel it through your whole body. And when one member is healthy, the whole body receives that strength and nourishment that comes from that the health of that part of the body. We really are a body, Paul says. Now you are the body of Christ. So don't let there be divisions. Contend for the unity of the body. Especially in this time we're in, especially in these tumultuous, divisive times, church, contend for the unity of the body of Christ. The body of Christ has this deep unity and this wonderful diversity. Now, unity without diversity is just uniformity. But diversity without unity is anarchy. But unity and diversity, that's Christianity, anchored in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And what's needed to hold together unity and diversity is maturity. And maturity in the language of the Bible is spelled L-O-V-E. It's love. We need God's love. We need God's love, church. Amen. And in every major passage of the New Testament that speaks to this unity and diversity, the writers of Scripture go on to instruct us into maturity using the language of love. And Paul follows this very pattern in 1 Corinthians 13. We know it well, but let's connect it in the scripture. Let's read it together. Paul said that though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Hey, read this next time you post something, okay? Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say, blessed are the troublemakers. Man, don't we have enough troublemaking in our world today, church? Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker in the body of Christ. Do you love the church? The church that Jesus died for? Be a peacemaker in the body of Christ. Friends, we're called to be sheep in the flock. Not porcupines. Be a peacemaker in the body of Christ. You say, yeah, Adam, but we got to speak the truth. Right. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him who is head of all things, who is Christ. Speak the truth in love. Yeah, it's true. Love without truth is hypocrisy. But truth without love is brutality. But love with truth, that's Christianity. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. As a member in Christ's body, earnestly contend for the unity of the church. Now, we don't create unity. God's already given it to us in Christ. God has given us a deep unity already in Christ. Ours is to preserve it. Ours is to protect it. Ours is to contend for it. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 4 as we move to closing. To these massive bonds that hold us together in the body of Christ, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And listen to these seven massive bonds that hold us together as the body of Christ. There is one body, the church, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope of your calling, the hope of Christ's return, the hope of the resurrection, one hope, looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have one hope. One Lord, the Lord Jesus, one faith, the scriptures handed down to us, one baptism, that baptism of the Holy Spirit that immerses us into the body of Christ that we're learning about this morning. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so as the worship team comes back up this morning, as we'll finish our time in song, as we finish our time in the Word this morning, don't compare yourself with others. Amen. It only leads to discouragement or pride. It will lead to a sickness, a feeling of inferiority, like you don't matter, that says you don't need me, but it's not true. That would undermine God's very design for the body. That would fail to recognize that it's God who sets the members in the body, just as he has pleased. Don't let there be divisions. Don't compare yourself with others. It'll only lead to a feeling of superiority, of pride, like you're the only one that matters, like your opinion's the only one that matters. And you say, well, I don't need you. Appreciate others who are different than you in the body of Christ. Show care for others in the body. Contend for the unity of the body, because we are the body of Christ and members of it individually, a member in Christ's body. And let's stand up this morning. And just in final closing, maybe you're listening today, wherever you are, and you don't know if you really are a part of Christ's body. The Bible says that we all come to God the same way, through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And if God is drawing you to himself today, we want to pray with you to receive Christ into your life by faith. And if that's where you're at, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Christ into your life by faith today. You can pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and for rising again. I receive you into my life as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and giving me new life. And then if you're praying that, you can pray and fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might live for you. Thank you for giving me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Let's worship together as we close the morning.